Hey everybody, just a quick update before we get to the podcast. We recorded this immediately after the Heat's win over the Suns, before we had any concrete news about Hassan Whiteside's injury. Whiteside suffered a big gash in his right hand in the final minutes of the Heat's win, and he went straight to the locker room after suffering the injury, and now we've learned that he immediately got 13 stitches in that hand. Eric Spoelstra says that the gash is in an awkward place, so that's not great news, of course, about Whiteside. We remember the last time that Whiteside suffered a hand injury, a gash in his hand. It was also in an awkward spot. It was in between his fingers, sort of in the webbing on his hand there, and he missed a long period of time. We're hoping that he doesn't have to miss a long period of time, but it looks like he's going to at least miss a little bit of time with this, you would imagine. If that's the case, the Heat, of course, have Willie Reed, James Johnson, O'Kara White, who they could play a little bit at center. They have guys that could fill in, but it's going to be a big loss if they're without Whiteside for an extended period of time, with only 11 games left, mind you. If the Heat want to hold on to this playoff spot, losing Whiteside's not going to help them at all. One thing I really don't want to start hearing about, though, is how Eric Spoelstra should have yanked Whiteside prior to that injury, earlier before the game was over. The problem with that is that the Heat don't have a garbage time lineup. They don't. They're playing with 10 guys. Haslam doesn't play. Chris Bosh, Josh McRoberts, Justice Winslow. They've been out mostly all season. Deion Waiters is injured. There is no garbage time lineup. There's no end of the bench for Spoelstra to go to. So when you don't have that, you don't think about that type of situation. It was a freak accident. These things happen, unfortunately. Spoelstra doesn't have a garbage time lineup. He doesn't think about it. He has to play his regular rotation for 48 minutes. There's nobody else to go to. Could he have put Willie Reed in? Sure, but Willie Reed played at his allotted minutes. He just plays his regular rotation. You can't count on these things happening. So let's not second guess Spoelstra for having Whiteside in there in a blowout. There's nothing else he could have done. Anyway. Just wanted to have that quick update. We'll likely be hearing even more about Whiteside. Maybe some he's going to be reevaluated on Wednesday, and maybe we have a more concrete timeline. Maybe we have a more concrete timeline by the time you're hearing this. But I wanted to add this in here because I didn't talk about Whiteside's injury too much on the podcast. But here's the show recapping the Heat's win over the Suns, their current standings in the playoffs, and a bunch of other stuff. So here we go.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I am flying solo tonight, recapping the Miami Heat's win over the Phoenix Suns. The Heat, with the win, move into possession of eighth place in the Eastern Conference, largely thanks to, well, their win, number one. And number two, Brook Lopez hitting a game-winning shot to beat the Pistons. So Detroit takes the loss. They drop out of the eighth spot. Miami gets the eighth spot. They could be in sole possession of seventh place if Milwaukee beats Portland tonight. I'm recording now as that game is happening. And by the time a lot of you guys hear this, that game will be over. So you'll know how that works out. And Miami's only 2.5 games back of the Hawks for the fifth seed. So, look. The Heat are making their move. As of now, they are in the playoffs. If the playoffs started today, the Heat would be in it as the 8th seed, possibly the 7th seed. It was a really good win by the Heat. They beat the Suns 112-97. It was a game that kind of was pretty close in the first quarter there, but the Heat go on a 21-3 scoring run in the second quarter. They take a 52-39 lead. Phoenix is able to kind of make their way back into the game, but then the Heat go on an 11-0 run in the third quarter. They take a 72-54 lead, and at that point, the game's pretty much out of reach, and Miami is able to kind of run away with that game and get a pretty easy win for them. And Phoenix is a team that is not trying to lose, but they're not exactly trying to win either. Okay, they're trying to lose. They're resting all their good players. Jared Dudley's like the only veteran that's playing for them right now, and who knows how much longer he'll be in the rotation. I think they're only playing him because they kind of have to. They're running out all their young players. They're trying to lose. They're trying to get a top three pick in the NBA draft. Heat, they're not tanking. They're trying to get into the playoffs. It makes sense that they would be able to beat the Suns by 15 points and at some points leading by even more than that. And the win really comes down to Miami getting back to their identity. They had a tough loss against Portland where they weren't hitting a lot of threes. They were without Dion Waiters. They were without Dion Waiters again tonight. But they were able to hit their threes. They made 40% of their threes, 11 of 27 from beyond the arc, compared to the Suns, who made 4 of 16, and that's not really their forte anyway. The Heat really getting back here to what they like to do, which is shoot a bunch and make a bunch of threes. And without Waiters, Miami had they did a better job tonight being able to manufacture those three-point shots, those open looks. Dragic didn't have a great game, but I'll get into that, but he was at least aggressive. But then Josh Richardson, who's starting in Waiters' place, was really aggressive as well. Ronnie Magruder did a nice job getting to the rim. Tyler Johnson probably did the best job getting to the rim at anybody on the Heat tonight. He finished with 4 assists. Magruder had 4 assists. Richardson and Dragic both had 2 assists, but both of them created a lot more shots than the assist numbers reflect. And they got, look, they were driving, they were kicking. Wayne Ellington was a big recipient of those three-point shots. He was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he made 3 straight threes in the second quarter that helped that 21-3 scoring run that I talked about earlier. So James Johnson hit a three. Tyler Johnson hit a couple. Josh Richardson hit a couple. Dragic hit a couple. Like, a bunch of guys were hitting on their three-pointers, and that's, you know, a big part of what Miami likes to do. So they were able to get the win that way. Miami hasn't lost back-to-back games since the All-Star break, which is a big reason why they're in the playoffs right now. And if you want to see the Heat in this playoff push or plan ahead for the playoffs, possibly, there's no better way to do it than by downloading SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for any game that you want to see in person or concert, anything. There's nothing like being in the arena for the biggest moments of the season, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great deal. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I could be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game of the season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. They take all of the work out of it. It saves you time, it saves you money. They give you a grade based on value, so you're confident in your purchase. There's nothing like being confident when you buy something. There's no buyer's remorse with SeatGeek. And the best of all, it's backed by their 100% guarantee, so you could shop for tickets with SeatGeek and know that you're buying real stuff. Best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. How do you do that? Well, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOHEAT, that's LOHEAT, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LOHEAT today. Hassan Whiteside had a really great game for the Heat too. He finished with 23 points and 14 rebounds. And look, he dominated the whole game. We've talked often on this podcast where he doesn't dominate against other big centers. Not necessarily even like good centers, but other just big centers. And Alex Len is a bigger center. He's 7 feet. He's a solid 7 feet. He's a big guy. Whiteside was able to control the paint pretty much the whole night against Alex Len. And anybody else at Phoenix was able to throw at Whiteside. He established position early in possessions. He out-muscled Len for a number of rebounds. Alex Len had 11 rebounds, just 12 points of 5 of 13 shooting. Whiteside, like I mentioned, 23 points, 14 rebounds on 9 of 18 shooting. He was able to get to the line where he went 5 of 6. It was an overall strong performance from Whiteside in the box score. And then even the in-between things, he set good-ish screens. Not the, you know, he had a few where he wasn't doing as well, but that's to be expected with Whiteside. But defensively, I was really impressed. There was one possession where Leandro Barbosa, who's still, you know, he's old, but he's one of the faster players in the NBA, certainly one of the quickest guys, he's not easy for anybody to defend, let alone a center, a big center like Whiteside. But Barbosa had the ball in the corner, and Whiteside came out and defended him, and he had to move laterally, which is not one of Whiteside's strengths, along the perimeter or in space. And he did that, and Barbosa, and he forced the ball out of bounds. I think it was a turnover off of him, but he was able to knock it away and keep Barbosa from getting by him, which is, that was a huge defensive possession for the Heat and for Whiteside, just because it shows that he is capable of doing that. And it seemed that he started pretty slow. Ronnie Magruder got him the ball by getting to the rim and then getting Whiteside the ball under the basket for an easy little bunny shot. And after that, Whiteside really started going, and we've seen this with Whiteside before, where once he gets the ball on offense and he starts finding a rhythm, the rest of his game really starts to take shape. And that's what we saw tonight. And there was one play in particular with Whiteside where he gets the rebound, takes the ball full court down the other side, splits a double team somehow. He's dribbling the ball down the court, full court, splits the double team, and dunks the ball. And there's a highlight on allyoucanheat.com about this where you could see that, or my Twitter feed. And it was just an incredible play from Whiteside, something we don't see before. He can flash athletic ability like this at times. And after the game, Tyler Johnson, talking with Jason Jackson on Fox Sports, said this was a huge game for Whiteside for a number of reasons, but said that we've heard this before where players will say he's now flashing his potential. And it's not like Whiteside's new to being a starter or you know, being one of the key pieces to this Heat team. This isn't, you know, 2 years ago where he just leapt onto the scene. We know what Whiteside is, or we think we do. And you hear players say, you know, he's flashing his potential. He hasn't even reached his ceiling yet. And when he makes athletic plays like, usually I just roll my eyes at that. But when he makes athletic plays like that, you start to wonder, is there more to what Whiteside can do? I wonder, can he be a more stretchy type of center if he's that athletic? Can he defend guys on the perimeter? Is there a next level to Whiteside? Tyler Johnson thinks there are. Plenty of players think that on the Heat thinks that there is. So maybe it's true. Whiteside, while we're talking about his successes, now owns the single season rebounding record for the Miami Heat, passing Ronnie Cicely for that. And that's a nice little notch on his belt for sure. Okay, so we talked a little bit about replacing Waiters and how the Heat were able to do that. Goran Dragic is going to be a big part of that. And is I thought Josh Richardson did a nice job being aggressive, Tyler Johnson as well. And they're going to both need to step up. But Dragic is going to have to step up too. Dragic is going to need to step up too, because when you think about all-star guards, you know, the Heat have been creating shots with the combination of Dragic and Waiters. But you think about all-star guards like we think Dragic is. And we argue that Dragic is on this podcast all the time. But the real all-star guards, they can take games over by themselves and do it by themselves. Now, I'm not asking Dragic to be James Harden or Russell Westbrook and just have an extremely high usage rate and just create a bunch of looks. But there are going to be games where Dragic is going to have to do that, especially in this playoff push. Richardson's season has been up and down. Tyler Johnson has been a little inconsistent this year. We need Dragic to be more consistent. And he's had two bad games in a row now. A bad game against Portland in that loss. A fine game tonight. He had 16 points on 6 of 15 shooting, 2 assists. It was an okay game, but he wasn't necessarily aggressive. And you got to give Phoenix some credit. They bodied him up early down the court. Basically, as soon as he crossed half court, they were bodying up Dragic. They were trying to stop his momentum, trying to keep Dragic from getting downhill. But he's got to be better. He needs to figure out a way to get to his spots. Maybe, you know, use those high pick and rolls, whatever it's going to be, to get to the rim and create for others. He needs to be better. And in these next 11 games, if the Heat are going to keep this playoff spot, he's going to have to be better. And so, like I said, you look at a guy like James Harden in Houston, and he's able to create so much by himself. He's able to just dominate games. The Heat are going to need Dragic to have that type of performance a few times in these final few games. We still don't know how long Deion Waiters is going to be out, so we're going to need Dragic to have a high usage game, a few of them. It's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And I'm not trying to knock Dragic. He's having an incredible season so far, but two poor performances without Waiters is something that we have to take note of. We have to. That 7-11 partnership worked so well. There's going to be an adjustment period. And Richardson in the starting unit for Waiters is a much different dynamic. He's more of a, in the best case scenario, he's a third ball handler. He's not a first ball handler like Waiters or Dragic is. He's not a main guy. He's not going to create a ton for others. Tyler Johnson really isn't that either. Dragic is the only ace ball handler on this roster right now that's healthy. Even James Johnson, he's a secondary ball handler. Dragic is the only ace ball handler on this roster. He needs to be that for the entire game, for as long as he's playing. And look, I hope Waiters comes back soon, but it doesn't look like he's going to. I don't even know if he's going to be back before the end of the season. Neither do the Heat. So with that in mind, we're going to need to see an even more aggressive Goran Dragic. And there's no doubt in my mind that he could do it. We're just going to need to see it. What else we got here? We talked about Roddy Magruder. 4 assists. Team high for him. That's incredible. Yeah, look, I mean, we can look forward now. The Heat, they play Toronto on Thursday. The good news about that is that in Toronto's game tonight against Chicago, Robin Lopez and Serge Ibaka, they got into a scuffle. They threw punches. It looks like Ibaka is very likely going to be suspended. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. He's going to be suspended for Toronto's next game, which would be also against Miami. So Toronto's going to be without Ibaka. And that's great news for the Heat, who need to keep winning, obviously, to stay in this playoff spot. But then to beat a playoff team like that. Look, the Heat winning games against teams with better records is going to be a huge part of this final stretch where they're trying not only to get in the playoffs as an 8th seed, but like I said, 2.5 games back of even higher seeds of the 5th seed. That's in reach. And so the Heat will play Toronto on Thursday. We'll be back with another podcast before then. David will be back with me, of course. So thank you. That's all we have for today. Thanks to our sponsor, SeatGeek, the friendliest and smartest way to buy and sell tickets. Use the promo code LOHEAT to get $20 back after your first SeatGeek purchase. And whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. You can get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And if you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We'll catch you next time.